different ways in churches before. I've never been told up your trot before. So just as the worship was finishing, up your trot. So thanks for that, inspired.
Where's your trot?
Spontaneous.
God uses anyone, see.
First thing we always need to check when you're the speaker somewhere is what time is it? Because everybody's worship lasts different lengths of time. Everybody's notices last different lengths of time. But years ago, I was told by a very wise mentor, Craig, when you go somewhere, if you want those people to like you, finish on time. If you want them to love you, finish early. So I need a little survey, and I don't want the preachers in the house to contribute to this survey, because they won't be honest with me. How long do the people in this church usually speak for?
Keep going till you're finished.
Yes.
So that's a polite way of saying 5 minutes of boring's too long. Half an hour of great preaching's not long enough. No. Some of you have got something in the oven, haven't you? Plans for this afternoon?
I hope not.
Not prophesying. Warming up my voice. It's lovely to be in Inverness, our first time in Lighthouse Church.
Yay!
And Lois often asks me, Craig, why is it you get invited to speak everywhere once? And so we're aiming to break that cycle. And hope that what we leave with you today will have you wanting us to come back sometime.
Definitely.
Ideally, we'd love to come once or twice a year, not necessarily to speak, but just to visit you and hang out with you and see the progress of the church here. Because you've done a brave thing.
Yeah.
You've planted out of a circumstance. Many of you are gathering with hopes and experiences from the past. Some of you have got faith for the moment. Some of you are still figuring it out. And I just want to say it's okay with God. Mm-hmm. That you come as you are, and you come where you're at, and he'll lead you from where you are, and he'll accept you and love you from where you are. And some of you are carrying wounds, and some of you have got a little bit of a limp, and others are frustrated that you're keen to get things going, and others have got questions about where is it going. And I want you to know, none of these things freak God out. None of these things worry the Holy Spirit. And one by one, moment by moment, hour by hour, just as you start to figure out your stuff, someone else starts going through their stuff. And that's why we need community.
Amen.
Because if we're going to walk with God, we have to walk with God in the company of others who are learning to walk with God.
Yeah.
And if we're going to walk with God, we have to walk in the community of others who are figuring out what the presence of God is, what the word of God is, who the people of God are, and what the purpose of God's kingdom on this earth in our hour is. So I don't know what it is about Inverness.
Nothing
else. I keep meeting people that live here but weren't born here. So, I mean, how did this place get started if nobody was born here?
Well, everybody's born here.
Everybody's born here. So give me a wee hand if you were born in Inverness or surrounding areas. Yeah. Well, look at that.
Yay.
I found some originals then. Because I know no matter how long all of these other people are going to be here, they'll never truly be you guys.
Inversnecky.
I'm not obviously going to use that word. I don't know if it's...
Inversnecky. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, it's correct, Craig.
Lois was from Oban. So when we go up to Oban, she likes to tell me how much the Obanites dislike the Fort William people.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And I don't know who Inverness's rivalries are. I know who your football rivalries are. But I don't think we should touch on that at the moment, should we? Things are not going well there. But, well, we came up on Friday night and had a lovely dinner with Alison and Eric. And then yesterday, a couple of folk we were hoping to catch up with had a birthday party. Somebody had a birthday over the weekend. So we got to chill.
Was
it Joey's birthday? Did you sing happy birthday? Would that freak him out? Or?
I'd love it.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Joey, happy birthday to you.
Hip hip! Anybody else have a birthday this week or this coming week? don't want to lose you anybody by singling out your kids for favouritism. But as Alison said in the introduction, 4, going on 5 years ago now, we weren't prepared for it, we didn't plan for it, we had no idea it was coming. This thing called Go Global emerged, and we had prided ourselves for close to 25 years of being married at that time, longer now, in that we were never called to be church planters. We were always called to be pastors and support and cheer on church planters, but no, you won't catch us doing that. And then as Go Global started, we found ourselves with a brand new church plant called Love Church. We were just turning 50 at the time. Our kids were growing up, so they were gone. Lois was experiencing terrible health challenges, which resulted in a life-changing kidney transplant for her and life-changing for all of us. And then, of course, we were coming out of COVID. And so now, after 4 years of coming in, straightening chairs, putting stuff out, putting stuff away, tea and coffees, hoping for guests, hoping people that come will stay. We know what you're going through. So we've got a fresh appreciation for everything you do. There are probably bigger churches in the town with facilities and buildings and organised kids' works, but you've chosen to obey the Lord and come here. And that means the world to those that have stepped out and put their own resources in God's hands to make something like this happen. But if we come to now, then here we find ourselves. This year, I will be 35 years a follower of Jesus.
Yay!
That means I've known you for at least 30.
Yeah.
We both used to comb our hair. And I don't know about you, but I used to be able to see what shoes I was wearing just by looking around rather than looking in a full-length mirror. Things have changed, but 35 years of following Jesus, we've seen some stuff, been through some stuff, enjoyed some stuff, experienced some stuff, but never have I loved Jesus more. And if you forget everything I say today, I hope you'll just say from time to time, who was that chap that came? I don't remember his name, but wasn't he on fire for the Lord? Didn't he love Jesus? That would do. But what I want to talk about today is related to those early years as a Christian. Because 35 years as a Christian, only 30 of them, there's kids in the room, not you. Big lad, you can take it. But how would I describe it then? 30 of them sane, 30 of them consistent, 30 of them growing. I mean, not perfect. But the first 5 years I was a Christian were an absolute car crash. They were a total disaster. I had no idea what would happen to me. The Christians I was meeting had no idea what to do with me. God never let me down. Satan knew what happened to me. Mm-hmm. He had an idea what God was saving me for, but I had no idea. Mm-hmm. So for the first 5 years I was a Christian, my already chaotic lifestyle got worse and worse and worse, to the point where I was practically had lost my mind, living in very rundown homeless units and hostels in Glasgow, and addicted to alcohol and any other substances that, you know, you could find and afford. And finding myself with a wee room in this place, and I've got nothing in it but one of those Gideon's, you know, holy Bibles, and a couple of books that Christian people had brought into this place because Christians volunteered in it. And no, and nothing to do, and no rest for my mind, and desires, a feeling at the inevitability, they're going to draw me back again, they're going to draw me back again. And then, by the grace of God, through those precious Christians that volunteered there and the resources they gave me, and the church I began to connect with, I began to understand two things that transformed who I was, how I was living, how I was thinking, how I was feeling, how I was talking, how I was choosing. The first one I won't talk about today so much was the gospel. I trust you've joined a church that preaches the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I trust if you're hearing the gospel over and over and over, you never get sick of it. You never get tired of it. You never switch off thinking that's for the unsaved or the new Christian. The gospel that saved you is the same gospel that continues to transform you day in, day out, moment by moment, hour by hour. So, on our 30th anniversary as a sane Christian, allegedly, I did a little series in our own church called Best News Ever, which touches the depths of those moments where I discovered what the gospel was, what Jesus had done, what Jesus was currently doing, how God promised it and how it came about. And that's all on our YouTube and our podcast if you want to dive into that. But the second series I wanted to do and that 30th anniversary of actually finding that breakthrough in freedom was a series which we've called in Love Church Brand New You. And that's the part I want to touch on today. If you don't know what God has done for you and you don't know what God is doing in you, you'll live a confused Christian life. You'll be pulled around by every latest thing. How many of you know Christianity has fads?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When I became a Christian, the second coming was right around the corner. 30 years later, it's right around the corner. And in 30 years' time, we could be standing here saying it's right around the corner. The Apostle Paul told us when he was writing his book, he was living in the last days. So we're definitely living in the last days. But so far, I've had about 16 different people who have allegedly been the Antichrist live and die. Several dates for when Jesus coming back come and go. We can get caught up in our fads. Unless we know what Jesus did for us in the gospel and the identity God gave us when he saved us and the purpose he's now called us for, we can go round in circles. And these moments can come and go. We've seen healing movements. Healing belongs in the kingdom, but stays in the kingdom, doesn't come and go. We've seen times of refreshing, but the kingdom is refreshing. It's always like that in the kingdom of God. We've seen periods of manifestations. But the truth is, when the Spirit touches people, their bodies don't always know how to cope with it. And so things come out their mouth and things come out their bodies that perhaps they never planned for. So something happened to you that I want to remind you of today. And I'll tell you why I asked you why you've always lived in Inverness. And we haven't always lived in Paisley. I'm a Glaswegian, I never used to speak like this. I've been taught how to speak in a way that people can understand most of it, if not all of it. Prior to living in Paisley, we lived in Glasgow. Lois and I got married, we had a little flat in Sight Hill, that's Springburn, that's the north of the city. You know Springburn? My dad was born in Charles Street, and still got family there on Balgrey Hill today, the highest point in Glasgow. But then we got the opportunity to buy a house on the southwest of Glasgow, a very affluent suburb of Govan. And we bought a stunning red sandstone pile of rubble in Govan. And we did it up. And then the time came for us to move to Paisley about 3 years after that. And now we've been in what I call our new house in Paisley. You should come and see us in our new house in Paisley. I've been saying that now for 21 years.
No one comes.
I don't know why nobody comes. I don't know why you would think nobody comes. But for 21 years we've been there, very happy there. But it took me a little bit of getting used to. Here's what happened. You know when you buy a house or you move house, you take a couple of days off to get it all through and sorted. Then you take a couple of days off work to pack it up and move it. Then you take a couple of days off to unpack it and get it sorted. And then the time comes where you think, sugar, I better go back to work on Monday. That's us, we've relocated. Well, the first day I went back to work after moving to Paisley, fortunately, back in those days, mobile phones were quite large. They stuck onto your belt. They had a built-in clip on them. And you knew if somebody had one hidden in their jumper by the way they walked. Some people even had the battery on a trolley that they drove their mobile phone. And calls were £75.60 a minute. And so you weren't allowed to use it. It was just important that you had one. And my boss gave me one of these phones. Well, I had to use that mobile phone the first day we moved. Well, I went back to work after moving and call our landline. Now, although we live in Paisley, we are the far side of Paisley, close to Elderslie. Elderslie is one of the places William Wallace was born. Did you know that? William Wallace has been born in Stirling, Falkirk, Elderslie, in 15-something, and 60, and so on. So because we were the Elderslie side, we never had the Paisley dialing code. We had the Elderslie dialing code. So I phoned this from this brick, 015058, and Lois went, 812210, Elderslie, Lois speaking. And do you remember when people had mobile phones for the first time? Hello, it's me, can you hear me? Yeah, it's me. So I'm trying to explain on this one. Lois, I'm going to, I don't know if you've put dinner on, but I'm going to be a wee bit late. All right, okay, everything all right. Everything's fine. It's just I've got on the wrong bus, went to the wrong house, and I'm trying to put the wrong key in the wrong door because I'm at our old house. We had relocated, but I had defaults to go back to what I'd always been used to going to.
You didn't actually know the way home, though. No idea.
It would have been a battle to get there even if I knew where I was going.
You have to meet him every day.
But you see, we'd relocated. Like a little boy for a few weeks, Lois had to meet me off the bus and show me that even just today I don't have any sense of direction. I could find that toilet and get lost and never see you people again. That's one of the things about my testimony. When you're taking as many unrecommended chemicals back in those days, you're just grateful for any brain cells that are still around to get saved. But the point I'm making is I'd relocated. But I had pathways back to old places. Defaults back to old places.
Yes, yes.
And the New Testament talks about when you become a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, there's a relocation that takes place. I don't want you to panic, by the way. My introductions tend to be very long, but it doesn't mean the messages are. I will open the Bible, and I will help you with something in a minute. And here's the point I want to leave with you today. If you know Jesus, and by the way, Jesus is real.
Amen. Good.
Amen. There's nothing you can do about that. Jesus is real. You might be someone like me who had to come to terms with the fact that I have to be a Christian because Jesus didn't want to be. Didn't appeal to me, but what am I supposed to do when I find my heart convinced? I'm drawn. There's no get out of jail card here. Once you believe he's real, he's got you. And the Bible uses this phrase. You have an address. And every believer has the same address, and it's just two words. You should get it on a plaque and hang it to your front door of your house. You should buy it and get it printed on a t-shirt. In Christ. Can you say that with me?
Yeah.
In Christ. Christ. So the New Testament talks about our relocation to being in Christ. In Christ I am a new creation.
Amen.
In Christ I am a child of God. In Christ for me there's no longer any condemnation. In Christ I am the salt of the earth. In Christ I am the light of the world. But if you have a new address, stands to reason you had an old address. And I've heard it described in many different ways and accurately many times. The old address was in sin, in fallen humanity. All of that is true. But the truth is, in Christ, prior to that, your address, as far as God was concerned, was in Adam.
Yeah, that's right.
You had a father from the beginning who fell from his station before God because of the choices him and his wife seemed to want to make together. And so, in Adam, a massive problem was created, and in Christ, The only solution to that massive problem is offered. And there are no other destinations and there are no other locations. There is no sitting on the fence in the kingdom of God. If you're not in Christ, you're in Adam. And if you're not in Adam, you're in Christ. So here we find ourselves, Adam representing the old humanity, but only lasted three chapters of Genesis. Sometimes people think that's short. I think that's quite good. It doesn't take me more than one chapter to sin. How about you? Genesis chapter 1, Genesis... Cut! Craig's eating the apple. But he's not supposed to eat it to chapter 3, I know, but it's him. And he cannot... As soon as you say don't, he's going, isn't it? Yeah. So when I get to heaven, I won't be saying, Adam, why did you cause us all to fall? I'm going to say, Adam, how did you make it to chapter 3 before you finally ate that forbidden whatever it was? So here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Describing being in Adam, sin entered the world through that one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people. But I'm talking to you today, not primarily about who you are in Adam, who you are in Christ.
Yeah,
before I do that, I want to make it very clear, though, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
Amen.
Something happened to you. In those first 5 years I was a Christian, I thought that what happened to me was I didn't believe something before and I believe it now. I thought that's what happened. I didn't believe it, now I believe it. So I do what believers do. But the truth is, believing it had no power. Yes. Knowing him, that's where the power is.
Amen.
Being in him, that's where the power is. So I started believing it. Then I got a Bible. Then I started reading it. And it said things like, even the devil believes in Jesus. Well, that's not changed his life. That's not changed his modus operandi. That's not changed his behavior. That's not changed his heart. And then I found this phrase. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
Amen.
In other words, I had no idea for those first 5 years what had gone and what had come. I just had no idea. And I've spent 30 years never tiring of researching and praying and spending time with Jesus and trying to find out, Lord, what was it you did to me? Because I'm still a bit bewildered as to why I'm in church on a Sunday instead of having a long lie in poached eggs and dog walks. Why do I choose to worship you rather than serve myself? It wasn't my plan. It was his plan.
Amen.
But while I was still figuring it out, he relocated me. And he did the same for you. So the gospel then is essentially, in a nutshell, an invitation, move from Adam to Jesus. You don't come to Jesus, you must remain in Adam. And this is where it gets a bit technical. Are you all right for a few more minutes? The Bible uses phrases that I just find myself falling in love with. It calls Jesus by names that, although they're in the Bible, I don't hear them being sung. I don't hear them being addressed as them. But yet, they are descriptions of Jesus that are common in the New Testament. The Bible calls Jesus the last Adam, the second man.
Yes.
Yep. Hold on a minute.
Amen.
Who was the first man? Adam? Yeah?
Yep.
There's no trick questions, I'm not that clever. Who was the second man? Jesus. Who was the first Adam? Adam. Who was the last Adam?
Jesus.
So who was Abraham? Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, Samson. Who were these people?
Yeah.
If he's the first Adam and he's the second Adam, who are they? If he's the first man and he's the second man, what's going on in the... Look, I'll read it to you from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:14. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. So we've established Adam was the head of that first human race, but through sin, disobedience, death enters the world. Jesus comes as the last Adam to succeed where the first Adam failed, living in perfect obedience, bringing righteousness. So Adam was your place of birth, not Inverness, not wherever you came here from. Adam was your place of birth, but Christ is your new address. Why the last Adam? Well, we will never need another Adam. First Adam failed in his walk with God, found his unbroken fellowship with God insufficient, wanted more, lost it. I know what you want. You want me to tell my joke at this point, don't you? So I'll tell my joke at this point, just to lighten it up. Gets a wee bit heavy at this stage in the message. So, you know, Adam failed. God comes into the garden. God says, what's happened? And Adam says, that woman you gave me, she gave me the thing you told me not to eat, and I ate it. God says to the woman, what's going on here then? She said, oh, not me. That snake you put in the garden, that deceived me into eating the thing. And then God turns to the snake, and the poor snake didn't have a leg to stand on. So we find ourselves, some of you will get it tomorrow, it's sinking slowly, that one. We will never need another Adam.
Amen.
Jesus is the last Adam, because from Adam to Jesus there was no Adam, no man who enjoyed unbroken fellowship with the Father, perfection in nature. Now that there has been a last Adam who completed his mission and continues his mission, we will never need another Adam. But Scripture also calls him the second man. I'll show you that from 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. God could have pulled a second Adam from Adam's race, and he could not have done what only Jesus could do. That when we tried to create an Adam from earth, he failed. Every subsequent man could never be the man he was called to be, because he was born with his roots in fallen Adam.
Yes.
But now in Christ, a man who came from heaven, who had no previous disqualifications, who knew no sin. This is what the Bible says about him. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, from Adam to Jesus, no man could live as God would have originally intended that man to live had it not been for that first fall in Genesis chapter 3. But now, in the second man, Jesus in Christ, there can be a second man, a third man,
amen,
a fourth man, a fifth man, a sixth man, a 100,000th man, a 7 billionth man, because in the second man, every man, woman or child, is in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So what I'm saying to you today is, Jesus didn't come along to primarily just regain what Adam lost. He recreated something better than what Adam lost. A relationship with God that wasn't just walking in the garden, but was dwelling within us. See, God put his presence beside them, and then God puts his presence within us.
Amen.
So here's Adam, sin, condemnation, death, and then here's Jesus, last Adam, second man, righteousness, life, and a new humanity. In other words, brand new you. Amen. Never been a man like you before, Mrs. Never been a man like you before, young person. You're in Christ. not in Adam, you've been transferred from one place to the other. So it's not just a new spiritual location, although it is. It's a brand new spiritual identity. It's a brand new you. I thought I was just going to go to church. Just try and live a good life and try and not misbehave as much as I used to. I had no idea I'd been signed up for total transformation. Steady on, Jesus. And so many Christians have been relocated spiritually, but sadly we find ourselves living like we were never relocated. We try and do our new holy habits in the first Adam. So we find ourselves acquainted with guilt and sin and self-effort and fear. And we all have a new address in Christ, but we keep forwarding our mail back to Adam. Jesus changed your address. In Christ. I don't know if you rent your house or if you bought it or even if you buy and rent out, but when you relocate to in Christ, it's a furnished accommodation.
Yes.
It has furniture. The furniture of your old place in Adam was fear and guilt and sin and shame, but the furniture in the house of being in Christ is righteousness, peace and joy, faith, hope and love.
Amen.
Well, I'm enjoying being here. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah.
At this stage? We're getting there, aren't we? The point I'm making to you today is you have relocated. How does it start for you? I was just told things and did them because people who seemed to know what they were talking about told me I should do them. Craig, get a Bible. Yes, sir. Where'd you get a Bible? I never knew Christians had their own shops, you know that? I mean, they don't have many now. Sadly, now the old CLC in Inverness is gone. But I never knew you had your own shops. I never knew you had your own posters. I never knew you had your own t-shirts. I never knew you had your own fridge magnets. You people were quite creative. Carpenter from Nazareth seeks joiners. I bought that one, saved up for it. Jesus is my rock and my name is on the roll. Did you ever, you ever see that one? I had no idea. So I'm in this Christian bookshop looking for a Bible, and this lovely man's trying to figure out what kind of Christian I am. Are you Arminian, Calvinism? What one gets a discount, mate? I'm that one. Are you a pedo-baptist? Are you a full immersion? I don't know. A man told me to come here and buy a Bible. Well, let's get you a good translation then. No, mate. I don't want a translation, I want a Bible. I knew nothing. He said, well, every Bible in this shop is a translation. Well, I'll go to another shop then. I want a Bible. Then they said, you have to come to church every Sunday. Okay, I'll be there. Chaos. Allowing, of course. Then they said, go to the prayer meeting. Okay, I'll be there. Then they said, you must now be baptised. Okay, I'll do that. What's that? Baptised. I mean, you don't hear that word anywhere else. So they filled a tank. God love him, the pastor. He was a beautiful man. He really helped Peter and Anderson and I back when we were just these early 20s kids. Him and his wife. But because he was a lovely man doesn't mean he wasn't a forgetful man. He never turned the immerser on for the baptism pool. So the night Peter and I got baptised on the 23rd of November 1993, by this time it was, he stepped into the water and let out a shriek that made me think he's been delivered. I've seen this in the New Testament. They shriek when Jesus gets hold of them. But it was just that his foot had to break the ice on the top of the pool as he walked down the steps. And as he walked down the steps and stood like this, they said, would you like to say something? And he went, there was three of us getting baptised that night. I was second and I said, you go next. But believe and be baptised. So they put me under the water, they brought me back up, we sang a song, they gave me a certificate, and they never told me what I'd just done. So I went home expecting to be angelic in my outlook from this moment on, and I'm still the same person. They never told me it was my funeral. They never told me it was my resurrection. They never told me I was identifying with Jesus in his death by dying, or identifying with him in his resurrection by being brought back out of the water. I had to work these things out, and here's what happens when you try and live in an address somewhere between Adam and somewhere between Christ. You never quite live in the good of your baptism. How many of you know a Christian that wants to get baptised again because they didn't really mean it, didn't really understood it, I don't know if I was ready at the time. No, what it is you need to do is learn to live in the good of the moment. You will never find anybody in a cemetery saying, "Can you bury me again?" They're all very satisfied with the service they received first time around, aren't they? So learn, I'm appealing to you, Inverness, you want to transform your region, learn to live in the good of your baptisms.
Amen.
Please notice I said plural. Mm-hmm. Not only were you baptised in water, you were then baptised in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is a win-win. And here I am trying to navigate my transition between Adam and Jesus, in Adam, in Christ, and the Lord keeps bestowing on me all of these gifts that I don't understand. But you cannot die and rise again without it changing your life. So with new Christians now, I rarely look at their behaviour. It's like putting your kid up against the wall every Friday and measuring their height and being frustrated there's no change. Do that quarterly, do that annually. You'll see a difference. I was a little kid one time, and he was watching his first baptism service. It's the first, you know how they do them in evenings typically? Try and get you out twice. It's a pastoral tactic, okay? So they were baptising in the evenings. This kid was allowed to come for the first time. Had no idea what he was about to witness. And then eventually he gets a bit alarmed and says to his mum, "Mummy, why does the pastor keep pushing people under the water?" His mummy looked at him and smiled and said, "Don't worry, son. They asked for it." So you have in Adam, in Christ, in baptisms, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Shall I finish with this? Romans 8, chapter 11. "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you."
Amen.
Here's what seals the deal. I was in Adam, I'm now in Christ. How do I get from there to here? Christ is in me.
Yeah.
Christ is in me. He was never in Adam. There was unbroken fellowship, but there was no indwelling. The incarnation had to come so that we could be indwelt.
Amen.
Now we're indwelt. There's no exit. There's no backing out. There's no changing our minds. If you're truly saved, you're in Christ because you used to be in Adam. But not only that, he's in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, there's so much more I'd love to say about it. Colossians calls it Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
In this book here, Victory Over the Darkness, a very old book now. You can find second-hand copies of it. I've read this 16, 18 times perhaps over the years. It was one of the resources I read in that hostel back in those days. And in here he tells the story of a pastor who decided to do an experiment. This was the experiment. For the next 50 people that come to see me, I'm going to ask them all the same opening question. And this was the question he asked them, and it's in this book here. How many of the following characteristics describe your life? See how many of them describe your life. Inferiority. insecurity, inadequacy, guilt, worry, doubt, to the pastor's horror, as he relates it in this book, every single person of the 50 said their life could be accurately described by all six.
Wow.
They were Christians who'd never learned who they were in Christ.
Wow.
No one had told them they were a child of God. They didn't know they could have victory over the flesh and the devil. They didn't know they could be transformed by the renewing of their minds. They didn't know that they could lean in on the grace of God. And here's the thing I've learned after 35 years as a Christian, five of them an insane one. Telling people that what they're doing is wrong does not give them the power to stop doing it.
Correct.
Amen.
Telling people who they are in Christ and who Christ is in them, they can't help but change. It's inevitable because it's coming from the inside out.
Amen.
All right. So because the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you're free to become the person God has created you to be.
Yes.
Because you were raised in Christ. Anybody want this book?
Yeah.
Who would read it? Would you read it? There you go. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I would have clapped you, Mel, to just be honest.
I've got
spare
one.
Oh, you've got a spare
one. I've got one, yeah.
From about 20 years
have
ago.
You read it?
Yeah, 20 years
ago. I guess I'm done. Have you got the message today?
Amen.
Yes.
Are you trying to put your key in a door that no longer fits that lock?
That's right.
Are you trying to live in an environment that's not your environment any longer? As far as Jesus is concerned, is there too much of your old thinking came with you to your new identity? Is there too much of your old behaviours came back to you in your new reality? Is there too much of your old traits living with you in your present? Well, there is a thing called sanctification, but let me tell you this, once you're buried, you're buried.
Yeah.
A person, it's a strange thing to try and watch a resuscitated person try and climb back into a coffin. So, what will you do with the message the Lord has shared with us today? Actually, what do I do? Three words. Obedience, faith, and trust. It's all you can do. You can't earn it. You can't resolve to be a better Christian from this afternoon, or if you're watching the game this afternoon, from this evening. You can't resolve once I've changed this. I see it all the time. Once I've fixed this, once I've amended this, once I've sorted this, once I've been through this, I'm really going, like, you're telling me once you've had a shower, you're going to have a bath. You're buried. You were in Adam. You were in Christ. And now that you're in Christ, Christ is in you. Now open the Bible and discover who you are.
Yes.
Best news ever. Brand new you. Shall we pray?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I genuinely thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking me to a place where I knew my state was so depraved I would need a miracle to change.
Thank you,
Lord. Truth is, you can be living in a castle and you need that miracle. You could have a billion in the bank, you still need that miracle. You could drive the fastest cars all paid for and still need that miracle. Or you could be relying on the food banks and you still need that miracle.
Yes.
Father, today in this place, no doubt you've brought us under this word, Lord, because some of us have forgotten our identity and some of us have forgotten our location.
Yes.
It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, if there's anybody in the room today that needs a fresh revelation of the truth we've discussed, give it to them liberally, Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
Give them to them abundantly, Father. And Lord, if there's anybody still carrying old clothing from their previous existence, protecting old furniture from their past location, give them a boldness to throw it out and deal with it, Lord.
Yes,
to sever it, cut it off, let it go. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, grow in this region, Inverness and the Highlands and beyond, healthy Christians, healthy churches who know who they were in Adam, but now know who they are in Christ and know that Christ is in them.
Yes.
Amen.
You keep your head bowed a wee second. If you've got nothing but encouragement from today's word, God bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
If it's troubled you at all, do some business with God right now, would you? Get right with him, or at least get real with him. You just say, Lord, I need to stop living like I'm an Adam. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. It doesn't matter what old you are. It doesn't matter how many birthdays you've had, how many trips around the sun you've had. It doesn't matter how many services you've attended. If you're in Adam, that's where you are, in Adam. If you want to be relocated in Christ, you can be today. He gives you permission to move. Now, will you cooperate with his permission to move? Would you do that? Would you be brave enough to do that? No more messing around at my old address. I think back to who that boy was. Oh, some of his thoughts terrify me. But he was lost. He's no longer lost. He was frightened. He's no longer fearful. He was confused. His mind is clearing up. God has begun a work and God will finish it. If you need God to do anything for at all to you today, based on what you've heard, all I'm going to ask you to do is something very, very simple. I'm just going to say, why don't you stand where you are? If you stand for God, God will take a stand for you. I promise you. We'll pray a prayer together and God will hear it. Is there anybody in this room today you're saying, I'm going to follow Christ from today? Stand up. Anybody say, I'm going to take the call to follow Christ seriously from today? Stand up. Anybody saying, I'm going to leave that old furniture in Adam and walk into the benefits of my furnished accommodation in Christ from today? Even though I've been a Christian 50 years. Is that you today? Then stand up. If you'll stand up for him, he will stand up for you. Is there anybody at all who will stand with me today? Don't feel pressured or compelled. Just do it if you're comfortable. Now pray a short prayer. Our Father, people are standing.
Thank you, Lord.
And there are some that want to. Go on, I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. Bless you. Father, we have been relocated. We're in Adam. Moved to Christ. Christ in us. Lord, we've had two baptisms, or can have two baptisms. One in water. If my friends standing or sitting with me, Lord, have yet to pursue that, give them a boldness to obey you swiftly. But there's also a baptism in your Holy Spirit, Lord. There's a power to live this life that you've called us to that comes from beyond ourselves. Help my friends to experience that and to settle for nothing less. And Lord, I pray today, cut off anything that wraps itself around their ankles, that wraps itself around their hearts, that wraps itself around their minds and tries to pull them back into Adam when they now belong sealed in Christ. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, let there be a transformation revelation in their thoughts, words and actions, a peace that surpasses understanding, a freedom that Lord. Just surprises them, Lord, and a boldness in walking with you, living for you, loving you, serving you, and enjoying you with a passion that they never used to have, Lord, but you put it inside them.
Oh,
and do it all for your glory, Lord, and do it all for your fame. Yes. And Lord, I pray, let it spread through the region like a wildfire. Too many in Inverness still in Adam, Lord. Let them be in Christ before Christ return. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Say thanks to Craig.
Yeah, thank you, Craig.
Greg? Craig. I just need an accent.